Hallelujah. Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. I just want us to pray for Nigeria. Yeah, please put that off. Everything has its advantage and disadvantage. All right, I want us to pray for Nigeria, that two-prong prayer taken from the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Our earth here is Nigeria. There are so many things to say, but very little that can be said. Pastor Desanya, God bless you. Ekwodu Mejo. There are so many things to say, but not much can be. But we're asking the Lord in prayer this morning. Let your kingdom come in our nation. Let your will be done. Cause us to align with your will. Because the other problem is that sometimes when God wants to bring his will to pass, his people are the ones that will even fight that will because of our shortage in the volume of understanding. Lord, let your kingdom come in this nation. Let your will be done in our nation. And cause us to align with your will. Can we lift up our voices and pray in the name of Jesus? In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Some discussions between, some chats, some debates between myself, in a group, and certain people, we are going into election period now. The parties are already picking their candidates, and somebody was saying XYZ will be president, or he will be voting for XYZ as president. And I said, what I still don't understand about us in Nigeria, especially amongst us Christians, is that, last Father's Business Summit, the last before, the one of April. I don't know whether you remember the topic we dealt with. The minister and what? And the will of God. I think that's what we dealt with. All right. What I still don't understand is that We are a people who don't place priority on seeking the will of God. We want to do the will of God, but we don't want to seek it. So we end up assuming the will of God and then proceeding to do it on the assumption that what we're doing is the will of God. And so when they said XYZ will be president because he's a pastor, I said, he's not the only pastor that wants to contest. So if you now have two pastors who wants to contest, how do you determine between them? It brings you back to the question of what? Of seeking the will of God. Lord, what do you want for us? That lesson we have refused to learn. And we're paying big time for it. Big time. I hope you know that on Saturday, the head of Methodist Church in Nigeria, together with one of his other bishops and his his chaplain, were kidnapped. I mean, such sacrilege. But the Lord said these things will happen. It will happen. It will get, she still read the scripture for us in Jeremiah saying the same thing. Those who have been around me for a while on this matter, I pointed you to Isaiah chapter 8. God spoke to me clearly in 2015 about it. They will get to your doors. They will get to the doors of Jerusalem and Judah. They will enter Jerusalem. They will enter Judah. Their stench will fill your land, O Emmanuel. And we see these things happen before our very eyes. Yet, we still cannot say, Lord, what do you want for us? We assume. I just don't understand. I don't understand. The head of Methodist Church Nigeria. You don't understand what that means, though. And that elderly revered man was tortured. He was made to walk. Is it 15 kilometers or 15 hours? I can't even remember now. And in the process of shoving him around, he fell against a tree, injured his eyes, blood was gushing out, and he didn't even. And the government couldn't do anything. The church had to pay 100 million naira. The government couldn't do it. Except I am missing something. Till as I'm speaking now, there is not one word from the government. The head of Methodist Church Nigeria . I don't have the figures, but you could check it out. What you are likely to find is that Methodist Church Nigeria will be the largest block of Methodist church in the world. I've not checked the figures, but you can find it out. Methodism rose from England, but the total population of England, how many people are there in England? All I'm saying is, Lord, help us to align with your will. Because cause us to seek your will and align with it. People will still make that mistake. They will choose by their sight. They will choose by the hearing of their ears. They will choose by the moving of the crowd. They will use even what I call religious sentiments to choose. And we brought ourselves to a situation where we are now afraid. Afraid that if care is not taken, the first dominant party has an allergy as its presidential candidate, and the second one is likely to have another allergy as its presidential candidate, where you and I are. Where, nominally speaking, Nigeria has the highest Christian population in Africa. Nigeria has maybe the second or the third highest Christian population in the world. If there are 200 million Nigerians and we say that Nigeria is 50% Christians, what does that imply? Talk to me. 100 million Christians, and we can't even affect our country. I don't have the figures offhand now, but the whole of Ghana is just about 22 million. The whole. Christian, Muslim, pagan, everything, 22 million. All the people in Liberia, they're not all the people in Ogun State. Liberia has 3.2 million people now. And you have more than, there are more Christians gathering in Lagos, Lagos alone, just Lagos. There are more Christians gathering in Lagos than the entire population of at least three or four African nations put together. And we can't even determine anything. We can't determine anything because we will not seek his will. You know, there's a difference between religion and working with God. God must help us. God must help us. Let me tell you this, mercy has kept down the left, because what was supposed to happen was far worse than what is happening. Mercy kept it down. I'm trusting that that mercy will still work. But I will tell you this, it won't be long. All this nonsense will be over. Amen. I'm telling you that you can take that to the bank. It won't be long. But that before it is over, Kirere Matirunuton, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And then cause us to do what? To align with your will in this nation. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your kingdom come, cause us to align with your will. Let your kingdom come, cause us to align with your will. Let your kingdom come, cause us to align with your will. Let your kingdom come. Cause us to align with your will. Let your kingdom come.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Can you ask the Lord to help you this morning by speaking directly to you? Now, that prayer that I'm asking you to pray, I am also actually praying it for myself. Just bring him to this side, or to my side there. Bring him here. Bring him here. Let him sit here. So this prayer, I am praying for myself. Let me tell you ahead of time. I'm speaking today as a voice. Well, I've always spoken as a voice, really, but I just want to re-emphasize it. I'm not talking to you. I'm speaking to us. Are you listening to me? That Lord, speak to me. Help me to hear you today. Lord, help me to hear you. Whatever the situation may be, no matter how this word comes, help me, Oluwamuiwa, to hear you. Shall we pray in the name of Jesus Christ? Help me, Lord. Help me. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Can we worship the Lord together with maybe just one or two songs and then, we'll speak. Along to the hour, okay, Ibani,
In the world. Come on. Oh, again. Oh, do it again in my life.
Revelations chapter 4. Pastor Aborode, please make sure we see after the meeting. Revelations chapter 4. Now, the title of what we're sharing today is Unto Maturity. Unto Maturity. But I want to start from Revelation chapter 4. And I'm just reading verse 1. After this, are you there? After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. Somebody say, come up hither. Say it again. Say it again. Of course, that simply means come up here. Okay? So, I want you to take the message you're about to hear as an invitation to go to a higher place. Let me repeat that. I want you to take the message you're about to hear as an invitation to a higher place. To a higher level. Now, because I want to go to a higher place, I accept that this message is for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this message, before it is for you, is first and foremost for me. Because why? I want to go to a higher place. I'm going higher. Yes, I am. I'm going higher this day. I'm going higher. Yes, I am. Going with Jesus to stay. And I'm going above the shadows into the presence of God. Into the presence of Jesus. I'm going higher this day. So it's an invitation. Everything you are going to hear is to propel you and I to a higher level. We will get there. I say we will get there. Wherever this message meets you, it will not leave you there. After today, after this message, you will go higher.
Amen.
Somebody is not hearing me. I say you will go higher.
Amen.
You will go higher.
Amen.
You will go higher.
Amen.
The word of the Lord to you today will propel you to go higher. In the name of Jesus. So I want you to first get that very clear. That everything that God is saying to us today, whether it comes to you as a doctrine or a teaching or a rebuke or a correction or whatever it is, whichever way it comes to you, understand it, interpret it as an invitation to you to do what? Talk to me. Let me warn you ahead also that the process of going higher is never easy. It's not for babes. That's why the topic says unto what? Unto maturity. Hallelujah. All right, so we say maturity is a state of full development. It is to be grown up or to grow up, not just in terms of physical stature, you know, or physical appearance, but in behavior and in thinking. Maturity is more about the state of a person's mind, and like my pastor said earlier on, about your level of understanding. A mature Christian or minister is one who has been brought to a state of complete readiness to handle life and relationships with profundity, with carefulness, and with discernment. Now, I looked through the King James Version of the Bible, and I didn't see the word mature or maturity there. But you find different other words that point to the same, you know, thought, like talking about full age, for instance, old age, for instance, huari here, for instance, so many other, you know, words like that, that depict maturity. But why does God call us to maturity? And let me quickly say that it's a call that God has extended to every one of us. To all of his children, and particularly to us as his ministers. That call that John received in Revelation 4:1 is a call to us all. If I'm teaching about the end time, if I'm teaching eschatology, if I'm teaching, you know, about things that has to do with rapture, I will tell you that Revelation 4:1 is a picture of the rapture. Okay? So that after the warnings that had gone to the churches, the seven churches, because the warnings themselves are models of trumpets. So if I'm teaching on that now, I will tell you that there are trumpets before the last trump. Because if it says the last trump, it means there were other trumps before it. You don't have a last trump if there were no first, second, third, whatever number of trump. You understand what I'm saying? So, and which is why what we come here to do every month is important. You may not know, but it is trumpets you are hearing. Your attitude to the first trump, second trump, third trump, and all the other, there are at least not less than six trumps that you will hear as a Christian before the last trump. Your attitude to the first set of trumps will determine whether you will hear the last trump or not. Some of you are waiting for the last trump. You have refused to heed the preliminary trumps. When he appeared to John, I'm already deviating, but I should still say it to you. When he appeared to John in Revelation 1, John said, like he said in Revelation 4, he said, the voice I heard is like the voice of a trumpet. So everything that you find in Revelation 2 and 3, all the warnings, all the demonstrations of the Lord to the churches, they are what? They are trumpets. If they didn't hear that trump, the one that said, come up here, they won't hear it. Am I making sense to somebody? That one is Jared. That's not what we're dealing with today. All right, so but I'm saying that the call to maturity is a call to every one of us. You don't have a choice. Those of you who are not pastors who are here, you know, some of you are maybe church workers or whatever, you're not pastors that are here. You may be saying to yourself, well, I don't want to be a pastor, so it's not for me. No,
It's a call to everybody, as you are going to see shortly. So why does God call us to maturity? I have four scriptures, and we're going to look at our Bibles a lot today, and I'm going to trust the Lord to help me to run with speed so that in the next 50 minutes I can be through with this message. Now, Isaiah 28, verse 9, what does the Bible say? It says, I want us to read, we're going to read all these scriptures, God helping us. We're going to read all of it. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Isaiah chapter 28, and let's see what the Bible says in verse 9. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall God teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and what? Drawn from the breast. In other words, those who are no longer children. Is that not so? Who will he teach knowledge? Who will God reveal things to? Now, let me break this down for you a little bit. God made me to understand that there are things he wants to show me. Please, are you with me? There are things he wants to show me. There are revelations he wants to teach me. There are deep insight into the mysteries of the scriptures that he wants to open to me. There are things that men have not heard, that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, that God wants to reveal to me. But he said to me, he said, you are not matured enough to handle it. So I can't show you. And so what God is saying to you and I is that there are things God wants to show you, but he can't because you are no one. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. My level of maturity can't handle it. If such revelations begin to pour out from my mouth, and when you're nibbled. You know, there are, you know, Bible says knowledge puffeth up. When God shows you some things, if your maturity can't handle it, you will misbehave to those you shouldn't misbehave to. Because you know something they don't know. You will see fathers and you will talk to them anyhow. So God says, rather than for me to show you, I won't show you. Until you what? So what he's saying is for you to be able to get new realms of understanding and revelations from me, son, daughter, do what? Come up hither. Mature. Grow up. Now, I don't want to mention names, but there are people in my generation, in this era, that God gave mighty revelations, and they began to talk to elders anyhow. And so when God loves you, he doesn't give you what will kill you. Meanwhile, you are crying, Lord, give me revelation. He said, you can't handle it. So sometimes it's not because God doesn't want to answer you. It's because you have not answered God. You have not answered his call for you to grow up. Am I making sense to somebody this morning? Ephesians 4 verse 13. Look at what your Bible says. 4:13. Your Bible says, the program of God, the call of God upon your life and my life, is that we may all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The call upon every Christian is to conform to the image of Christ. Is that not so? It doesn't matter whether you want to be a pastor or not. It doesn't matter whether you want to be a pastor of pastors or not. It doesn't matter whether you want to lead a big church or not. God wants you to measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I will tell you what that implies. There is a glory that your life is supposed to portray, because you can't carry the full measure of Christ and not display a certain level of glory. Am I making sense to you? But God says, I can't allow that glory to attend to your life, because why? Talk to me. Because if I allow that level of glory to enter your life, pride can kill you. You know, them that he has foreknown, he has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And those whom he has predestinated, he has called. Those whom he has called, he has justified. And those whom he has justified, what has he done to them? He has glorified. But we can't handle the glory. We can't touch it, because our maturity can't handle it. It's already there in the provisions for us. But we can't enter into it. Because we are yet to step up. Tell your neighbor, say, step up. Tell your neighbor, say, I will step up. Tell your neighbor, say, I will step up. Tell your neighbor, say, God will help me. This call to maturity, I will answer it. Hebrews chapter 5. God calls us to maturity so that we can be ready for service. Look at what it says in Hebrews 5:12. For the time you ought to be teachers or leaders, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He said, when you ought to be available for service, when you ought to be leading for me, when you ought to be in a position where I can use you to help others become what I want them to be. He said, you yourself, you are not yet what I want you to be. You are not ready for service. Listen, there are doors of service that God will never open unto you. There are doors of ministry that God will never open unto you until you mature. Listen, your maturity, and I hope somebody understands me, because I'm talking to myself. Your maturity determines who God will allow you to minister to. Your maturity determines who God will allow you to lay hands on. Oh, yes, God can use somebody that is young in the faith, that is young in the ministry, to minister to somebody that is older, if his maturity can carry it. So that he will not go out and be saying, I am the one who laid hand on Baba Ido. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Your maturity, if your maturity can't handle it, God will not bring that level of people to you to minister to. And I hope you do know that the doors of ministry that God opens to you is directly proportional to the amount of blessings you can carry in life. I hope you know that. Your level of maturity today can only take care of babes. So God keeps bringing babes to you. People who don't know their right hand from their left. Some of you are complaining that your members are not taking care of you. That's what your level of maturity can handle. Because God knows that if he should bring people of means, the community will not be at peace. know whether you understand what I'm saying. And who knows how many of us God has tested in the past. He brought somebody of means. He brought that person into your assembly. And then you lost yourself. Because you never found yourself in the first place. So you lost yourself. The way you are sleeping is only that person you are dreaming. Everything you want to do in the ministry is only that person you are looking at. You have not allowed the person to rest. Text message today, call tomorrow, this, that, that. Open demand, secret demand, covered demand, all manner. God says, this one, if we give him somebody higher, he will mess up ministry for us. Let me repeat it. There are doors of ministry that will never be opened unto you until you go up. They saw it, Gehazi. When they saw the way he behaved with that man called Naaman, they said, this one, if we give him anointing more than this one, the ministry of the kingdom of God will run into problem. Say, on the contrary, let's give him something that won't even allow him to minister at all. So they gave him leprosy. So that he wouldn't even minister at all. You know, in chapter 4, he still had such velocity of ministry that when Elijah wants to do something, he will say, you take my role, you go ahead and minister first. You know, it's like when, you know, God blesses you, you have somebody who is, you know, way over you in the ministry, and then you go with him to go and minister somewhere, and he says, oh, you take 5 minutes and speak first. Like many years ago, you will remember this thing, but I will remember. Many years ago, I went to a place, I think it should be about how many years now? About 14, 15 years ago, I went to a place, I took one minister along. And before I was to minister, I said, you go and take 5 minutes and do this. He got there, he took prayer to get him out of that place. So when I eventually succeeded in getting him off the pulpit, I said, that's the last time. Because his level of maturity because we were in a stadium. MKO Abiola Stadium. We were in a stadium, big crowd, mighty crowd. The wife of the governor was there. Important people. So when I gave him the microphone, gave him opportunity, So there are doors of ministry that will never be open. No matter how you pray, go and spend 1 million days on the mountain. It won't work. Why? Because there are certain things that the key to entering it is the key they call what? Maturity. And if you don't have it, you don't have it. Am I making sense to somebody? Yes. Galatians 4:1. What does your Bible say? It says, the owner of all things, the one who should be in control of all things, the one who has all the blessings by right of inheritance. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He says, now I say that as long as he's a child, as long as he's immature, he differed not from a servant, though he is the owner of all. He is the owner of all, but he cannot use anything except his servants tell him to use. Why? Because he's still what? What that means, very simple. There are blessings God will never allow to come your way until you answer this invitation to mature. Now, I need you to know, beyond daily, please listen to me very well, beyond daily bread, are you hearing me? Beyond daily bread, there is nothing God gives to his children on the basis of desire. Let me explain that to you. You may desire anything you like, but for God to give it to you, he will look at your record of maturity. The only one that he will not bother to look at that record to give to you is what? Deliberate. So there are things you think you need, which indeed you may truly need. There are things you desire, and you're praying for them. But guess what? God will never give it. Not because he's wicked, but because your maturity cannot what? I mean, it's like I have a child. I remember many years ago, well, not many, you know, some years ago, my youngest son will say he wants to drive. I say, drive. It's true you are tall. But this thing doesn't answer to height. It doesn't answer to height. It answers to what? Maturity. It's true you are already taller than me, your father. But that is not what qualifies you to drive my vehicle. Because I don't want to lose my vehicle and lose my son the same way. So I won't allow him to drive. I won't grant that request. Not because I don't love him. Not because he's my child. Not because he has committed any sin. Not because he doesn't desire it enough. Not even because he doesn't have faith. In any case, the one who says he wants to drive, it means he has faith that he can drive. Not because he doesn't have faith, but because this question of maturity, he is yes to answer it. So there are things you are looking for, praying for, faithing for, desiring with all your heart, quoting all the scriptures in the world. Your word says, you will give, I delight myself in the Lord. You will grant me the desire of my heart. Is that not true? Your word says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. And knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Abi? Your word says, all things are possible to him that believeth. I believe, I confess. Your word says, whatsoever I desire when I pray, I should believe I have received them and I shall have them. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. God will just be looking at you and say, well, when you finish all your vibration, go and mature. When you have done that one, you can come back. And without you even asking, I will let you have it. Recently, I told my wife, I said, there are things I'm desiring. And of course, she knows. So I refer to those things. And I said, well, my way of life is that let God be true. And every man what? A liar. I said, my dear, I must accept that my maturity can't handle what I'm asking for. That's why God has not given it. I had to tell myself the truth. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for yourself is to always tell yourself the truth. No one will tell you that. No, you can praise me. Men of God can say, oh, this and that, and say all manner of things. But I am the one that knows my secret struggles with God. That nobody knows. So I am the only one that can tell myself the truth that others can't tell me. So I had to say to myself, these things that I have believed God for, these things that I'm desiring, and I'm not talking about aircraft. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about any material thing. There are ways I want the work of God in my hand to go. So I'm even talking about the things of God. But God says, yes, these things are things of the kingdom. These things are things that will further my work in your hand. But I can't give it to you because your maturity can't what? Can handle it. If I give it to you, it will crush you. So I have to accept that, Lord, I understand what you are saying now. I need to grow up. And I'm recommending my approach to you. Praise God. I'm recommending my approach to you. You have fasted, you have prayed, you have believed, you have done everything you know to do, and it's still not working. Is God wicked? Talk to me. He said, I have not said to the sons of Jacob that they should seek me in vain. But you are applying all the efforts and nothing is happening. You should tell yourself that what that means, and it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how long you spend in the ministry. It doesn't matter what God has used you to do in the past. You should tell yourself that this next level that I want to enter that is proving difficult, it seems my maturity can't work. And so what do? You resign to faith? No. What do? You do the needful to grow up. Let me run through this. I'm not going to spend time on this. It's there in your notes. Because of my time. Time is already far spent. Now, what are the characteristics of immaturity? I call them milk users. Now, let's read that scripture again in Hebrews 5, 11 to 13, very quickly. I don't know how many of us God is talking to, but I know he's talking to me. And I'm going to, in any case, I already began, is because what I'm sharing with you is God's dealing with me. Are you getting what I'm saying? What I'm sharing with you, I'm not preaching at you. I'm not teaching you. I'm just sharing with you what? God's dealing with me. So, I have begun to do some things to answer the question that God has placed before me. And in a few days, weeks, months to come, don't be surprised if you find me at another level. And don't say at that time that we don't even know what Eremi is doing. You know what I'm doing because I'm telling you. Praise God. I don't have secrets. My secrets are what I'm sharing with you. All right, Hebrews 5 from 11. He said, of whom we have many things to say and had to be uttered, why, seeing ye are dull of hearing? For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is what? Is unskillful. And we're going to come back to that word shortly, I hope. In the word of righteousness. For he is what? A babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Somebody say full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Somebody say exercised. Exercised to discern both good and evil. So what are the characteristics of milk users? What are the things I will see in my life that will tell me that God is telling me to go up higher? Let me tell you ahead that every one of us, including the speaker, will find one, at least one or two of these things still operating in his life. Because at the end of the day, really, until we are done here, we have to keep on maturing. Praise God. It's just that levels differ. You understand what I'm saying? You know, some of you, I mean, once you are maybe 18, 17, 18, 19, maximum 21, you stop growing in height. But that doesn't mean you are still not growing. Praise God. Even the oldest person I meet today is still growing. How do I know? You shave your hair. It's a symbol of growth. You bob your head. It's a symbol of growth. Even the person that is balding is still grows hair. All right. The immature lives a dependent life. Milk users live a dependent life. Now, the problem with that is that they are dependent not on God, but on man. They are dependent on men and their contraptions and the things men put up. They can't live, they can't work out their lives outside of the premise of what man says. They are not driven by what God says. They are driven by what man says. It's as simple as that. Now, you can be a general overseer and this still happens to you. You can be 50 years in the faith and this still happens to you. In any case, listen to what the scripture we read said. He said, for when for the time you ought to have been. In other words, by reason of their chronological age in the faith, they ought to be bishops already. He said, but they have made themselves people that still need what? Those who have just been saved, what they need. Maturity is independence without being all in all or all sufficient. Because only God is all sufficient. And I hope you understand that. Maturity is to be independent without being all in all. In other words, you are independent, but your independence allows you to still be able to learn and take from others. Maturity doesn't mean you don't need any other person to survive. That's not what it means. Number two, milk users are limited in terms of what they can consume. Very practical issues, for instance, they can't read much of the Bible. Now, let me tell you the mystery of our lives as Christians. You can grow. Please listen very well. You can grow and mature and demature. Did you hear what I just said? You can grow and mature and demature. And I will help you to understand that from the physical life. A man starts life as a baby. They do everything for him. He matures and is able to do everything for himself. What happens in his old age? They have to start doing things for him again. Now, that is what happens in the physical. God didn't create the spiritual to look like that. You are supposed to go from babyhood to sonship and to maturity and be a man, a full man, and remain a full man. But when we fail to do the things we need to do, we can demature and become like it is in the physical when we are no longer able to accommodate the things we used to accommodate. For example, I talked about study of the Bible. When you're young, as you grow in the faith, your capacity for reading the Bible, if your orientation is right from the beginning, is very voracious. And then you get to a level that you become so mature that your understanding of the Bible, if care is not taken, makes you to stop reading your Bible. And so you can't spend more time with the Word of God anymore. Now, you need to get this clear, because sometimes the devil makes us to look at it from the point of view of not having time. No. It is that this is the way you know that you have dematured. When you find yourself reading the Bible, and you cannot endure long hours of Bible reading. Just tell yourself the truth that I have become a baby again. It's not because you have to go somewhere. It is that you carried your Bible, you sat down, and you have just read only 30 minutes, you find you are sleeping. Not because you are going anywhere. You need to, look, nobody will tell you that truth. You need to tell yourself, but look, I have become a baby again. I need to wake up. You could pray 1 hour at a stretch, but now to pray 1 hour at a stretch has become a problem. It's a symbol of immaturity. So you could possibly have been doing it before, but this English, new English word that I coined had befallen you. You became dematured. And yet God still wants to show you something. God still wants to open vistas of revelations for you. But you are no longer having time for your
Bible for communion anymore. You will read all of them there. Let me run. Make use as behave like carnal men, trading in envy, strife, and divisions. Now, we call it being natural. We call it being a man. That I am still, after all, I am still a man. After all, I am a human being. That let me talk about booty on the chicken. I'm a human being. But God calls it what? Baby behavior. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read it quickly. 1 to 3. First Corinthians 3. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and what? And strife. And divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Look at verse 4. "Say, for one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of what? Apollos." What God is saying is that the way he works in the world shouldn't work amongst us. Let me rush. Jesus is Lord. This thing they call time is running. Number 4, they live by imitations and regurgitations. Regurgitations is that, you know, everything you hear from them is what they heard from somebody else. They just regurgitate, they reproduce it. You can hardly hear anything original from them. That was why the Corinthians were always either of Paul or of what? Apollos. Now, I've told you before that maturity doesn't mean, even though it means independence, it doesn't mean you are all in all. You should be able to learn from others. Number 5, milk users can only take. They are poor at giving. You know, like every child. The child can only what? Take. It's poor at giving. They only have needs. They don't meet needs. Now, I have not spoken about whether the needs are genuine or not, because it's irrelevant. The most important thing is that this is your attitude. If this is your attitude, it speaks what? It speaks immaturity. It's as simple as that. Now, you can argue it, but like I told you, if you adopt my own system, judge yourself so that you will not be judged. They are not problem solvers, but only bring problems. Once you see them coming to you, because when you meet a child, it's only what you are going to do for the child that the issue will be about. It's not what the child will do for you. Tell your neighbor, say, grow up. Okay, so tell your neighbor, say, I will grow up. Number 6, they are slow of heart to learn. They are ever learning, like the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:7. They are ever learning, but hardly ever coming to the knowledge of the truth. Like Hebrews 5:11 says, they are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Number 7, they are easily swayed and tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4:14. This is because they don't have a definite position on core kingdom matters. Now, I have said this before. I don't know if anyone has heard me say that. Every man of God, every minister, in fact, as a matter of fact, it ought to be for every Christian. But let's limit ourselves to ministers. Every minister must have a divinely inspired position on every kingdom matter. If they ask you, for instance, your opinion about tithe, you should have a divinely inspired opinion as a man of God, as a leader. Not what somebody said. Not what you think. You must have engaged God enough to know the mind of God on that subject matter.
That is what it means to be a servant of God. And that is what shows that you are maturing, that you are making progress. The things you are doing in your ministry, what did God say about it? Because if you are just doing it, it's a symbol. Chemo, omo de ni o mama se nkan ton ma bi pe kilo de to se n se kini ti o ni ni esi tabi ta ko so fun yi pe mo kan se na ni. And there are, you know, okay, forgive me, all our online audience. I say it's a child that will do something, and you will ask that child, why are you doing it? And he will say, no reason. Or he will say, I'm just doing it. It's a child that will do that. I mean, you left your house. Some people left Lagos now to come here. Some people left Ibadan to come here. And then I ask them, why are you here? They say, I just came. And there are things you are doing in your ministry. They ask you, why are you doing this? We're just doing it. You don't need a prophet to tell you that that is a big time symbol of what? Immaturity. So I should go back to base and sit down and review the things I'm doing and have an established God motivated reason for doing it. That is, you know, it comes back to this thing I've talked about, the will of God. Jesus appeared in the temple. Bible says a scroll of the book of Isaiah was handed over unto him. And Bible says when he had found the place where it was written of him, he read it to them. And before they could ask him, why are you reading this portion to us? You know what he said to them? He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. I didn't just read anything. I know what I'm reading and why I am reading it. Your testimony as a man of God, as a leader, is that I am not just doing these things. I have a divine mandate why I am doing it. That's how to go. And that's how to get the results of God. Am I making sense to you? Now, here is the tragedy. I said, unfortunately, milk users have found their way to the pulpit. Or that many of us, while we are still using milk, we have been piloted to the pulpit. Some of us didn't go there by ourselves. We were piloted by our leaders. And we have created a system that makes room for novices to become Christian leaders. What does the Bible say in 1 Timothy 3:6? It said, those who will be pastors. He calls them bishops there, but it's just pastors. He said, those who will be pastors. Those who will be deacons. He said, they should not be what? Novice. Because God knows the danger that the immature pastor poses to the congregation. The wise man said, woe unto you, O land, when your kings are what? Babes. So that's the danger of what we're talking about. It's not just woe unto the land, woe unto the king himself. So now we confuse maturity with occupying exalted position in church. So once a person is geo, it automatically means he's matured. And some of us also allow that thing to enter our head. Because we are geo, we don't recognize the need to go and listen to other people, to go and submit to other people, to go for counseling, to go for mentoring, to go for... Because we are geo, or because we have been pastors for 20 years, or because we are already 57 or 90 or whatever, we don't take into cognizance the fact that this thing is not by age and is not by longevity on the pulpit. It's not by longevity on the corridors of the altar. It's according to the level of the understanding that you have been able to muster.
Now, what God wants for all his children, pastors and their members, everybody, is that all of us, Ephesians 4:13, all of us will come up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if the pulpit is now filled with immature people, how do we get that happen? That's the danger of the church of today. That's the problem that we have today. But I believe God has brought you and I here so that we can change level. Everyone that has the opportunity to hear this message, God has brought this message across to us so that we can change level and he can use us for his agenda. Let me quickly tell you that God is about to wrap up his program on the earth. So at no point in time other than now does he really need mature people to lead his people. And God is counting on you to be one of them. And you will be one of them. It is Ogun State Anthem that says, Omo Ogun Isheya, Ishepo Funwala Tishi. That anthem is actually the anthem of the church now. There is plenty of work for us to do, but who will do the work? And that's why God is training us, using all of these things to instruct us. Now, let me take you through this. My time is already far spent, but this is very important that we must deal with. I said five scripture pictures, or five pictures from the scripture of the mature minister. Or five pictures that tells us what to do. Five pictures that lay before us the route that we must take. And so I just want to look at these scriptures with us, and then we can close this meeting. All right, John 21. John 21, are you there? Am I making sense to you this morning? If you are blessed, say amen.
Amen.
If you love what you are hearing, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I say hallelujah. One more time, I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to see all of you July 6th and tell your friends, you know, July 6th is next Father's Business Summit. God will take us higher.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will take us higher.
Amen.
I said it last month. I want to say it again. Every message that has been shared on this pulpit since January, please, I am begging you. It's a beg, real beg. I don't know how else to beg you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, go over them, all of them. January, what did we talk about January? Prevailing in life and ministry. You know, you don't remember them. Prevailing in life and ministry. February, what did we talk about? Put your life in order. All right. March, what did we talk about? We spoke about finding purpose in life and ministry. And then in April, we spoke about the minister and the will of God. March, we had health, whatever. I'm sorry, May, we had health, whatever. All right, we are in John chapter 21, verse 18. Look at what the Bible says. This is Jesus talking to Peter. And from what Jesus said to Peter, we find a symbol that relates to what we're talking about. Jesus said to Peter, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you guardest yourself and walkest whither thou wouldest. That is the mentality and the attitude of the immature. He does what he wants. Are you still with me? Hello? Are you still with me? He guards himself. He gets himself ready. Now, the Bible says, and your loins got about with what? With truth. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. You remember when it was talking about the armor of God. So he says, your loins got about with what? With truth. Truth there, meaning the truth of the word of God. Now, God says here, when you are young, you manufacture your own guard. You guard yourself. I don't know whether somebody still gets me. You guard yourself. You don't use my own guarding. You guard yourself. You do the things that appeal to you. You find your own reasons for doing whatever you want to do. You do what you desire. And you go wherever you want. He said, but when thou shalt be old, when you become mature, when maturity sets in for you, the whole thing changes. He says, you are going to do what? Which is a symbol of what? Surrender. Ye kin so eleyin yo ba. O se gbon nitori pe o ti dagba ni. You are wise in yourself because you are not yet what? Matured. When you become matured in him, you become what Paul called fools for Christ's sake. Did you remember that scripture? He said, we are what? Fools. Now, I told you way before, you know, from the beginning, me, I'm contending for another level. So this message is talking to me. But I have been privileged by God to do many foolish things in life. Very many. That defy logic. That defy common sense. I can't forget when God called me out of the academic world 27 years ago, my dean, who happens to be a venerable gentleman in one of our churches, he said, I hope now, there are things you are doing in ministry using your wisdom. Now, it may be working, but please understand it very clearly. It's a symbol of what? Talk to me. You know, let me use the example of a baby for you again. Every baby knows, even when they don't tell us, they know that if I cry, my mommy will give me what I want. So they cry. Does it not work? So the fact that it works does not promote you to be an adult. So there are things you are doing in life and ministry now that are just a display of your own wisdom. And I'm saying, yes, it works. But the fact that it works does not change your status as a babe. So God said to Peter, when you become old, the first thing you do, or the first sign of your maturity, is that you do what? You stretch forth your hand, you surrender. Look at it, let me complete it for you. He said, you stretch forth your hand, another shall what? Shall guard thee. You no longer use your own truth to pursue life and ministry. And then, they will carry you where you don't want to go. And I've told people many times that a sign that you have matured is how many things you don't want to do that God made you to do. Remember what it says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I didn't want to lie down, but he made me do it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leaded me beside still waters. He restored my soul. He leaded me along the path of righteousness. I didn't want to do this thing, but he maketh me to do it. So how much God can make you to do what you don't want to do is the measure of your maturity. If all that you have done, no matter how sacrificing those things may be, if there are still things you want to do, the journey toward maturity begins with a full surrender. Consistency in yielding yourself to the Lord is important.
Paul spoke to the Roman church, Romans 12 verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is the ultimate in yielding. You are like a man that is dead. Catherine Kuhlman of blessed memory said, I realize that God is not interested in silver vessels, in golden vessels, in diamond vessels and all of that. God is only interested in what? Yielded vessels. Vessels that have yielded themselves and said, Lord. Do you know that God made Jesus to reach this point before he left this earth? Because he had to complete the cycle. Jesus himself had to complete the cycle. In spite of the mighty things he did. Mighty, 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 mighty. So he got to a point at Gethsemane. He said, Lord, this one, oh, I've been doing what you want me to do. As I hear, so I judge. By what I see my father do, I do. He said, but this one, I will do my own. This one. And like one young man was saying earlier on this morning, he said, I should do something. I said, I won't do it. I said, God has not told me to do this. He said, I'm going to pray that God will make you to do it. The man is laughing. He said, I'm going to pray. So Jesus went to pray that God must allow him to do his own thing his own way this time around. And God said, it's all right. We will see whether it's you or it's me that we win. So they started the contest. He repeated what happened in the book of Genesis. Jacob fighting with the angel at Penuel. He said, thou hast wrestled with God and prevailed. He said, we will now see how this one works out. So they wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. And Jesus applied all his energy to this wrestling. To the point that the Bible says that the sweats that were coming from his body were like great drops of blood. And God saw blood and God said, Oba mu eko sun ejejube lo. I won't agree. God saw blood. God said, produce more blood. Don't worry. And then when Jesus saw that there is no way in this thing, that I might fulfill the tale of maturity, Jesus surrendered and said, not my will. Until God brings you to that point, you are not there yet. Say when you say, help me, Lord. You are not talking. Say, help me, Lord. Say it again. Say, help me, Lord. You know, everything. I don't have time to go and read the book of Judges. Everything Samson did, even with the anointing, he did by himself. He was a self-driven man. He wasn't even driven by the anointing. It was the anointing that was following Samson. I don't know whether you understand that. I don't know whether you have read Samson's life to understand that it was the anointing that was following him. He was not the one following the anointing. Whenever he wanted to do anything, the Bible says the Spirit of God will now come upon him. The will was his. He only got the backing of the Spirit for everything. And he kept doing it and it was working. I've told you, the fact that this thing is working doesn't change your status. He kept doing it and it was working. He kept doing it and it was working. Be aware of things that work without God, though. He kept doing it, it was working. And then he walked and walked and walked and walked him to a point where he got into trouble. And then when he entered the trouble, he said, I'm going to do it as I used to do it. And he found that the spirit was now tired of following him everywhere. He said, for he didn't know that the spirit had departed. He had retired. He said, he don't know me, he was shaking me. Because if I just come and know me, Lord, I will set a bad precedent. That once you have the anointing, you can do anything you like. He said, but I have to prove it. I have to just show it to you that, look, this thing, I won't allow you to just keep on walking like that. So Bible says the spirit had departed from him. Now, at the end of his life, he now learned the lesson of maturity. He didn't do it as at before. He had to pray. Those who read the Bible told us that that's the first place you find Samson praying, other than when he wanted to drink water and didn't find water. He had to pray. Even the one that he prayed for water was a complaint, not a prayer. It was an accusation. Say, God, what kind of God is this? Are you going to allow? When I have done this mighty thing, are you going to allow me to just die of thirst like that?
Jehovah, oh, nature is all born, I gave him you. But when he got to his end, he had to pay the price of maturity. He said, oh Lord, my God, give me this strength one more time. 2nd scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, 11. Are you still with me? Are you blessed this morning? Talk to me. Are you blessed this morning? Are you sure? Are you sure? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 1 hour is gone. Jesus is Lord. When I was a child, this was Apostle Paul speaking. When I was a child, I spake as a child. And if you have questions, please put them together. I will quickly take them in 10 minutes. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. And I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, I put away childish things. And I said, this is the picture of discipline. Now, look at what this man said. When I was a child, this was how I behaved. When I became a man, those things didn't leave me. I was the one who did what? Who put them away. That's where we have problems. We are waiting for those things to leave us. But Apostle Paul says, those things respond to discipline. You have to consciously, deliberately do what? Put them away. Spiritual maturity is a process that requires discipline and must be consciously embarked upon. Paul said, I put away childish things. That is discipline. Now, unlike physical maturing, which happens by itself, you hardly really did anything to grow up physically. But even as a man, in the natural and physical things, maturity doesn't just come to people. You are the one that must do certain things to mature. Praise the name of Jesus. So we have to train ourselves for spiritual maturity. Somebody say, train yourself. Say it again, say, train yourself. You have to deliberately look at your life and pick out childish things you still do. You are the one to, I'm not the one to do that. You are the one to do it. You sit down, take an inventory of your life, and look at the childish things you, because Paul said, when I was a child, these were the things I was doing. But when I became a man, I put them away. It's like saying, I looked at it, I said, this one is there, I took it like this, I said, you go away. This one is there, I look at it, I take. So it's a deliberate action. Now, many of us have never sat down to do that in our life. But we must do it. You don't excuse childish things and say, after all, I'm human. No! Unfortunately, you're not human, as a matter of fact. Because what the Bible says is, ye are gods. Psalm 85, 82, verse 5. It says, ye are gods. It took you away from the realm of humans. Ephesians 2, verse 6. It says, you've been made to sit together with Christ in every place. Bible says, now we have the mind of Christ. So where did you become human? It says, the wind blows where it wills. You don't know where it's coming from? You don't know where it's going? He says, so it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. So if you are born again, how dare you call yourself human? I have caused a few controversies here and there when I tell people, I'm not a man. Because I am not. There are ways of men I have deliberately put out of my life. I give you an example. No natural man, you know what Yoruba says? They say, no lema joni, kojo mo eni, kashekini. That ain't lema kogo now. Oh, lefe roti ele. Koma gweru eliobi. That is human. I deliberately decided that I am not human. I don't have to live my life that way. Those are the philosophies that guard my life. Scripture says, the vineyards of others have taken care of, my own vineyards I have left unattended to. That is the way of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's not human to give somebody your last money when you don't even know where the next one is coming. That's not human now. The normal thing as a human being is to sit down and calculate. Jesus spoke, he said, as a normal human being, when you want to build, what do? You sit down and count cost. As a normal human being. But if I am to sit down and count cost, I won't build anything. Because everything I have done in my life, especially when I entered into this way, has always been by what? By faith. I believe to see. I don't see to believe. I believe to see. And that's why my life is a bit difficult to understand. And that's where many people have misunderstood me. To feel that I'm not telling truth sometimes. One of my sons was there, you know, he said, the day we were going to do this banner, he's hearing me loud and clear. The day we were to do this banner, the person who was supposed to come and do decorations was supposed to come on Monday. We were at Father's business on Wednesday. And the fellow didn't come on Monday, and I said, we can't leave this place bare. What do we do? He said, maybe we should even do banner. But this is Monday evening. How do we get banner of this sort ready between now and Wednesday morning? I said, besides, I don't even have any money. I said, but all the same, you go and put up a design. Let's see what happens. So they put design. I sent it to somebody. I said, perfect the design. They perfected it. By the time I was doing that, I had a little money that came in for me. I said, look, I need this banner by this time tomorrow evening. Get it for me. This is what I have. Whatever the cost, I will pay. Just find a way to do it. So lo and behold, the following day, banner came. They spread the thing. And this, my son, said, daddy. Kosowo. And so, banner. Within 24 hours, banner to daddy, go to Sowo. I show one. So if I had to wait until I have money that will do this, I will not do it. Once I understand that this is what God wants me to do, I said, the God who wants me to do it. I was telling them in PFN, by the way, you will have the announcement shortly. Father's Business Summit is holding in Ottawa. 17th to 19th June this year. And I was sharing with PFN officials about the forthcoming meeting. I said, look, I'm not doing this meeting because I have money. I said, as I speak to you right now, I have 3,000 naira in my account. I said, but that meeting, which will cost me about 1 million naira, will hold. And everything will be done the way it should be done. When will I sit down and wait till I have 1 million naira to start planning? The 1 million naira can't even assemble. Because there are things to do. Look, you can read the rest. You can read the rest. So please, let's look at the areas where we are behaving as a child. Paul gave us an example here. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Praise God. I understood as a child. And then I taught as a child. Look at the process. This man speaks before he understands. He doesn't think before he speaks. Because a child doesn't think before, he just says it. Now, if you find yourself doing that, you are the one to sit down and begin to speak to yourself and correct yourself. Because unfortunately for all of us in the faith, we have already become normal human adults before we became babies in Christ. So it makes it a bit tough. It makes it to require compulsory that we must engage our mind, ourselves, to do this thing. When you are spoken without considering what you are talking about, you should go back yourself and review it and say, oh my God, forgive me. I have spoken before I thought.
You should bring yourself to that consciousness. Nobody will do, because I wouldn't know that you didn't think before you said it. You are the one to do that for yourself. You are the one to spend quality time to meditate before you make pronouncement on anything. You are the one to caution yourself and said, I have not taken time to think on this thing. I won't talk. You are the one to tell yourself that. Nobody will tell you that. Now, there are other areas. Just whatever you see a child does that you are still doing, apply it to yourself and then tell yourself, this thing must stop. I mean, just tell yourself. Just tell yourself. It's childish indiscipline. Tell yourself. I've said it, you know, before. For example, the immature like a child, only takes and rarely gives. Now, you know, we do say that giving is grace. Abi? And then you will say to yourself, whoa, new order of faking you. Now, what you don't know is that, yes, there is a giving that is grace. That is the ministry of giving. But the life of giving, normal giving, is not grace. It's a product of growth. It's a product of maturity. The reason why God gives us two hands is to give us a parable. One hand to give, one hand to receive. And I tell people, if you don't have a hand to give, you don't have a hand to receive. Whatever anybody likes to say about what they call, because for me, there is nothing called prosperity message, but whatever they like to say about prosperity message, truth remains what? Truth. If you don't have a hand to give, you don't have a hand to receive. Whether you call it prosperity message or materialism, whatever you call it, it's your business. But the truth remains that if you don't have a hand to give, you don't have a hand to receive. It's as simple as that. The truth remains that a child will always take. The immature will always take. And rarely gives. Whatever you like to term it, but that's just the truth. Praise the name of Jesus. The immature is appetite driven. He is driven by what's in it for me. The immature rarely goes anywhere to learn. He is looking at what are they going to give us there. If every month we give free gift here, what do you think will have happened? That there is always a free gift to give. That every month, at least I will distribute 5 tickets of people who want to go to Jerusalem. Man of God, forgive me. Sorry. We won't be able to give everybody, but at least we will have 5 tickets every month. What do you think will happen? I will never need to tell you to come early. Never. Come early. I think it was on Sunday here. When we had Bunker Crusade 2002 in Abeokuta, I was in charge of Bible distribution. All right, so there are 16 entrances into the stadium. There were 45,000 people there, and everybody was going to go home with 5 Bibles and 1 book. And I worked overnight to ensure that there are Bibles, you know, at every entrance to the main bowl of the stadium. We finished that walk around 5 a.m., or after 4. And I said, okay, I now have to find a way to go and rest. Only to find out, before 5 a.m., the gates of the stadium could not be opened because the people outside waiting to enter before 5 a.m. There were too many. So we began to wonder, how do we open this gate that there will be no stampede? Why were they there? To collect free Bible, which they won't read. Which most of them sold. And we didn't know what to do. But at a point in time, I came up with that. I said, look,
The more we wait, the more people will be there. We kept telling them, move back so that we can open the gate so that there will be no stampeding. They would not agree. So when I felt that, well, if we keep on, keeping the gate closed, there will be more people, which will increase the volume of stampeding and the possible casualties. So out of two evils, as it were, we had to pick the lesser. So I asked them to open the gate. Not less than 12 people were in the hospital. In fact, there were two of them whose cases were very critical that we almost lost them. It took God for us not to lose them. Just because they were going to collect easy-to-read version of the Bible, 5 copies that they didn't read. Character. And that's a minister's conference, a fire conference. Hello. Picture number 3. 2 Timothy 2:15. Bible says, study to show thyself, the picture of a learner. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Now, notice a workman. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1, it begins by saying, thou therefore my son. But by the time we go to verse 15, it's now talking no longer as of a son, but of a man, a workman. And one of the key processes that brought about that maturity is what we call study. It's a study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Of course, you already understand that you can have the word of truth and wrongly divide it. It is maturity that makes it possible for you to what? To rightly divide the word of truth. I've said so many things here that you can, look at yourself because of our time. I said you read the Bible to survive as a Christian. You study the Bible to grow and mature. You know, there's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Ah, all right. Psalm 119. Look at that very briefly. 119, 97 to 100. And then I can just jump to the next point. Now I have to look at me. Now, this one that I'm doing too is indiscipline because I've passed my time. Psalm 119, look at 97. All right. I will read to verse 100. David said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That is the character of a mature person. Now, this guy was young in age, but mature spiritually. I remember years ago when I was still very young in age, I used to tell people that, look, in the spiritual, this hair you are seeing is gray, is not black. How I love thy law, it is my meditation all day. Through thy commandments, the word of God, you have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers. That is spiritual maturity. I have more understanding than my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, the old people. Because this thing is not about natural age. It's your application of yourself, of your mind, to the scriptures. A dedicated, diligent application of yourself to the scriptures. I have more understanding than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Picture number 4, the picture of experience. Psalm 37 and verse 25. David said, I have been young. He said, now I am what? I am old. You know, you quote that scripture when you are looking for food. When hunger is afflicting your family, and you say, ah, no, the scripture says, I have been young and now old. I've never seen the son of a... No, he's seed begging bread. We shall not beg bread. We are the seed of the righteous. In the name of Jesus. But look at what God is bringing out here for us. The man said, I've been young, now I'm old. I have never what? Seen. Which means he engaged his what? His eyes. the knowledge of the righteous not being forsaken, or their seed not getting, not begging bread, didn't just come to him naturally. He had to do what? Use his eyes. He had to observe. What he said was the product of his dedicated observation. Am I making sense to you? He said, I have looked at it. I have not seen it. Motiwami Ojiri. I have looked at it. I have checked history. I have read. I have observed. I have looked around. I haven't seen it. So we know the mature by their experiences. Notice that the experience gathered by this old man did not just come to him naturally because of old age. They came because he put his eyes to work. Tell your neighbor, say, put your eyes to work. It was not like the lost servant spoken about in Isaiah chapter 42, 19 to 20. Who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf like my messenger? Seeing many things, but you what? Observe not. Hearing many things, but you perceive not. And that is the picture for most of us. Touch your eyes like they say, Lord, open my eyes. Say it again, say, open my eyes that I may see. Say it again, say, open my eyes that I may see. So the immature sees and it ends there. The mature sees and then observes. Are you getting what I'm saying? The problem is that we see so many things, but we don't apply our heart to the things we see. To observe is to take heed and to mark. Jeremiah 23:18. He says, who has marked the word of the Lord? You remember? Who has marked? And which is the reason why there is a difference between reading the word and studying the word. Because you can't study the word and not mark. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? So the psalmist was observant. He was perceptive. He discerned. Somebody say discern. He reflected spiritually on what went on around him. He interrogated the Spirit of God over the things he observed. Now, Hebrews 5, you remember Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. He says, who by reason of use have exercised their senses. The mature exercises his senses. He doesn't just look at things and it ends there. When he sees something, he engages his senses and exercises it by using his senses to interrogate what he has seen by the help of the Spirit of God. Not physical, bodily, carnal, intellectual reasoning. That's not what I'm talking about. But I engage the Spirit of God and say, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say here? Over the years, I have learned that nothing happens to me per chance. Nothing. You know the way I run my life. If I'm going to use a very brutal example. What do I call it? Brutal example. If I suddenly found myself looking at a woman that is not my wife, the first question I ask myself is, God, what are you trying to say? Because I know that naturally, what is my business with this one? So I ask myself, Lord, what are you trying to say? If I am just passing by and somebody is talking, and for reasons I can't understand, what that person and the other person are saying enters my ear. I don't just go. I ask myself, Lord, what are you saying? Because it is not all the time that you will hear a dossier the Lord, yet God will speak. That's why I tell people that the one who will walk with this God successfully must learn how to hear when God is speaking to him and when God is not speaking to him. The mature does not take things at face value. He probes and tests all spirits. 1 John 4:1. He said, try all spirits. Check them out. Everything you see, check it out by the Spirit of God. Everything you hear, check it out by the Spirit of God. When you hear a message like this, ask yourself, God, what are you saying? It's not enough to hear a message like this and say, Ask yourself, Lord, what are you saying to me? Picture number 5, the picture of resilience and temperance. Now, 1 Kings chapter 1, 1 to 4. I'm not going to read it. You go and read it at home. But the story there is this. Bible says David became old and was stricken in age. And then the Bible says he couldn't be warm. He was always feeling cold. And the Bible says the people gathered themselves together and said, let's look for a fair virgin, a young maid, a beautiful girl. And they sat all the coast of Israel. And so it was like they did a beauty contest. And the most beautiful girl in Israel, by the name of Abishag, the Shunammite, was brought to David to warm the body of the king. That was the most beautiful woman in Israel. And verse 4 says, the maiden was fair to look upon. He said, but the king did not know her. Hello? The same David that saw a woman bathing, and all his members, all the chemistry of his body, became disorganized. He didn't know. He didn't remember the scriptures anymore. He didn't remember anything about God. Here was a man, everything he ever did in life, he will inquire before God. To fight the Philistines, he will say, Lord, should I go against the Philistines? God will say, go. The next time they come, he will not rely on the old experience. He will go to God again and say, God, should I go against them? And God will tell him what to do. The man that was disturbing him from assessing the throne of Israel died. What should be the natural thing? The guy should just go up and take over. He's been anointed 14, 15, 16 years before then to be the king. And the thing disturbing him died. And the heir apparent that should have succeeded, Saul, Jonathan, also died with his father. So what is the problem? He should just go now. But the guy said, Lord, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? God said, go up. He didn't just take it for granted. He said, Lord, whither should I go? And then he now saw a beautiful girl that is not even wounded, that is available already. Somebody that another man has been using, that he knows. He just saw that one bathing, and he lost everything. His power of defenses fell and shattered. His capacity to hold himself, His grace for temperance to put the body under, like Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, everything collapsed. He said, he didn't even, he said, whose wife is that? They told him, he said, get me that woman. That same man, they now put the most beautiful girl, Miss Universe, Miss Israel. They put, and you know, the girl was put there on a mission. Abi, are you hearing what I'm saying? She was there on what? So you can be sure that Abigail will never go to the king putting on, Abishag, sorry, will never go to the king putting on her dress, because she was there on a what? On a mission. The people who put her there, if they came back to check the king and they still saw that the king was still shaking, they would say, you are not doing what we asked you to do. Did you go to the king yesterday? Say, yeah. How did you go? Hey, when I was, what did you wear when you were going? Say, I wore my pinafore and jacket. Jacket? To go and do what? Did we call you for a jacket exercise? You don't have nighty, the transparent one. You don't have that one. You don't have sexy whatever. They will go and buy one for her. And say, go and do what we want you to do. And the king saw her, but he has lost appetite for all of those things. He has lost appetite. He lost it. He said, I think it's Psalm 63. He said, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I said, I don't know that flesh can cry out to God. I don't know. But the man's flesh had become so dealt with, maturity had taken over, that even his flesh, his carnality, was seeking God. Let's stand up. It's enough. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Because if you do, you will truly, fully surrender yourself to God today and say to God, no longer I, but thee. No longer my will, but your will. How I wish you will see the glory ahead that I am seeing right now. How I wish you will see what God wants to do with your life. How I wish you could enter into the mind of God and understand what He wants to do with your life. I am thine,
Lord.
I have heard your voice.
I told
thy love to me. But I long to rise.
But I long to rise.
cross the narrow sea.
And there are heights of joy that I did already until I rest in peace.
If I were you, I will pray until I touch God, I'm not going to leave. Until you touch me, oh God, I'm not going to leave. Masato kayabaske. Don't let this opportunity to connect with him. Don't let it go away without you utilizing it.
Take me to the place where you are. In your dwelling place forever. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where.